So we're in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 9 today. And Paul here is going over his rights and his freedoms in Christ. He has the right to accept payment for work, whether that's Christian work or not. He has that right. And that's what he spends most of this chapter talking about, is apparently there had been a bit of a conflict in Corinth about whether or not missionaries should be paid and that sort of thing. And remember that this chapter is in the context of the chapters around it. Paul also has the right to eat meat sacrificed to idols, which we talked about last week and is covered in more detail in chapters 8 and 10. Paul is free, and no one can force him into a religious box, binding him to this rule or that rule. Along with all of you, I'm thankful for every right and freedom, whether it's because of where I live or because of what Christ has done. I'm thankful to be free to make my own choices and to be myself, to live my life, to worship as I feel most comfortable. But then Jesus interrupts my freedom and says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? From Mark chapter 8. The gospel turns our lives and our values upside down. Suddenly, losing is winning, and winning is losing. Paul wrestles with this too in Philippians 3, one of his other letters. He said, and this is chapter 3, I'll read a few verses here, starting at verse 4. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So what had been Paul's sources of confidence, his pedigree, his family and religious background, his religious practice and religious devotion, he realized it was all really a liability for the sake of Christ and a loss compared to knowing Christ. It's not just that Christ is better than the worldly ways by which he previously measured success, but also that those worldly ways are garbage compared to knowing Christ. There's a big difference. The gospel of Jesus sets us free from sin and death, and it also completely changes our values so that freedom for ourselves is no longer our greatest desire. Paul found a greater purpose in Christ, so he gave up his rights for Christ. A key verse in this passage, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. Notice that Paul still wants to win, but instead of wanting to win for himself, now he wants to win people for the kingdom of God. This language is used elsewhere in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, there's some advice to new women believers married to unbelievers. The advice is not about what to say, but how to live and what to do, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Again to Paul, who says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible." These new women believers are free in Christ. But they have the privilege, the opportunity to love and serve their husbands in order to win as many as possible for Jesus Christ. So freedom in Christ is not about autonomy and independence. It's about dependence on Christ and interdependence in God's family and in God's world. Freedom in Christ is not for me to claim for myself, at least not primarily. There are times when we need to claim our own freedom, but mainly freedom in Christ is a gift that we give to others. Martin Luther, the German monk-turned-reformer, said that the Christian is the perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And the Christian is the perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Both are true at the same time. We are free, we are servants, for the sake of the gospel. In the Evangelical Covenant Church, we have 6 affirmations that summarize what we believe, and one of our affirmations is about freedom in Christ. And I want to quote from one of those documents, this bit about freedom. "Freedom is not for self-indulgence or self-aggrandizement, but to serve and love God, in whom alone is found true freedom. And we talk in the Covenant Church about needing to know what we are free from on the one hand and what we are free to or for on the other hand. We are free from sin, death, and the devil. It's wonderful news. That freedom is for worship and service. The freedom is not for ourselves to do whatever we want and to hoard. That freedom in Christ is for a greater purpose, particularly spreading the good news in Christ. So Paul said, "I have become all things to all people so that by all means possible I might save some." And he talks about how when he's around the Jews, he becomes like a Jew in order to share the gospel. And when he's around Gentiles, which would be everyone who was non-Jewish, and that was most people in Corinth, when he's around Gentiles, he becomes like a Gentile that he may share Christ with them. There's a great example of him becoming all things to all people recorded in Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 16. Paul went to Athens in Greece. And first he went to the synagogue, which was his typical practice. And there he had some common ground. He had a shared belief in the scriptures and one holy God and the resurrection. But then he went out and preached in the marketplace. And he met some philosophers. It says they were Epicureans and Stoics. And they debated with him and they invited him to the Areopagus. I love the way the Bible describes the Areopagus. Verse 21 in Acts chapter 17, it says, "All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas." So here's Paul in the Areopagus, the best place to talk philosophy and ideas. Paul knows his Bible, but that's not all that helpful here. The philosophers don't know and love the scriptures the way he does. He can't rely on their hope for a Messiah or belief in one God and resurrection from the dead. So he has to find another way to talk to them about Jesus. He managed to find, by the help of God, I'm sure, some common ground. He said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." So he starts by kind of complimenting them and trying to make a connection of sorts. And then he begins to quote their poetry, their philosophy. And then he spoke of their, what they called their unknown God. And he used that as a way to start talking about knowing Christ. He made connections that would make sense to them, preached the gospel in a way that they could both understand and appreciate. And the results were mixed. Some scoffed and just kind of mocked him and rolled their eyes. But some wanted to know more about this Jesus. And some became followers of Christ. And at least all of them heard the message in a way that connected to them. Had Paul simply said the same thing he said in the synagogues, communication would not have happened. They wouldn't have had the opportunity to respond and follow Christ. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. And of course, Paul was imitating our Lord Jesus, who gave up all of his freedoms and rights in heaven to become like us, to save as many of us as would receive his gift. I find this all very challenging. I took the intercultural development inventory last week as part of some continuing education that I'm doing around cultural awareness. And I'm seeing, of course, that I have a long way to go to become all things to all people. Most of us do. We find ourselves in Paul's shoes all the time. There's your coworker who has never read the Bible, or your friend who doesn't share your views about much of anything, or your neighbor who thinks differently, maybe looks differently, maybe acts differently. How do we share the unchanging good news in our changing world? It starts with a change in focus and a change in attitude. We're not winning for ourselves, we're winning for Christ. We're not seeking freedom for ourselves, but freedom for Christ's work in the world. David Nival called freedom the last of the spiritual gifts to mature, which is why I wouldn't go into a candy shop with a kid and give them a lot of money, because it takes a lot of maturity to have freedom and use it well. You know, we send 18-year-olds off into the world, but the part of our brains that is good at making thinking about long-term consequences, that part of our brains isn't fully developed till we're 25 or 26, which I think explains a lot of adolescent behavior, does it not? It's not easy to use freedom well. It takes a lot of growth, a lot of maturity, not just brain development, but spiritual growth as well, to use that freedom for others and not for ourselves. And next, the love of Christ compels us to get to know our neighbors as they are, in holy curiosity to find out what makes them tick and find some common ground. To build relationships and build trust, which sometimes takes a really long time. I think it takes longer than it used to. And then share the good news of the living God. And finally, to entrust the results, to entrust their decision to God, knowing that people are not projects. We keep loving people regardless of how they respond to us or to the good news. And finally, in verse 23 of this chapter, Paul said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And that's my prayer for us, that we may do all this good and hard work for the sake of the gospel, that we may share in the gospel's many blessings. Amen.